Hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome again to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast.
Number 10.
Number 10. Can you believe it? This is the 10th one of these you've done.
Absolutely crazy.
Mario. Hello, how's it going?
Good, how you doing, Brian?
Good, it's just the two of us today?
Just the two of us.
Haha. Yeah, so what do we got for a topic today?
So, I know we teased that we were going to do extreme. We're going to actually save that for next week, because this week's topic is Let It Ride.
Let It Ride. I mean, what's more extreme than going off topic anyway?
Exactly.
Boom.
Extreme topic jumping.
That's right.
So
why are we doing this?
So we're doing this because we went to Atlantic City this past weekend, and we had a good time, and we figured, you know, why not talk about something that was near and dear to our hearts, like gambling and skiing, you know, along with skiing, and you know, kind of mix it up that way.
Yeah, and you know, AC is one of those places. It's not exactly highfalutin. There are places that are a little more so than others. Our favorite place, Revel, just closed down last year. That was a pretty highfalutin place.
It was highfalutin.
But, you know, it's still a fun place. It's something to do in the summertime when you can't go skiing. And hopefully you win enough money to buy yourself some new boards.
Boom. So let's put a hold on that, because you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It is time for the weekly flavor. Oh, yeah. All right, so Brian, what are you drinking this week?
Ooh, since we are talking about gambling, I am drinking a Brooklyn Sriracha Ace, which is a lovely Saison beer. Not too bad. It tastes a little bit like a Belgian beer. It's got some good flavor to it. Very nice. Not bad.
All right. I like it. I like the selection. And I'm going with the Dogfish Head Festina Peche.
Mmm.
I love the label. It has a little raccoon on there, like holding the peach like it's my precious.
It's a crazy looking raccoon.
Yeah, freaky, right?
With these red eyes, like he's like, yeah, my precious.
It's beautiful. Precious. Like that.
Awesome. So yeah, some good beers for the summertime.
So let's get back to topic. So all right. So Brian, why don't you give us a rundown?
Well, you know, being the highfalutin ski bums as we are, there's no better vacation than a ski vacation. But sometimes you need to concede and do something different. Maybe you have some parents or grandparents who are sick of saving their Social Security checks and pensions and want to roll the dice and play some slots.
Yeah.
Maybe you've been so sweet to them, they want to take you along on that trip.
Boop, boop.
Well, good friends, you are in luck. The bums are here to help with this little handy list.
Nice. Like it.
Yeah.
So Atlantic City. So we go down Atlantic City once in a while. Probably at least once a year, we try to get down there, sometimes a little more, depending on the comps that we get and how much we play.
How much luck we have playing as well.
Yeah, how much we want to take off, because we usually, you know, I use a lot of my time in the winter, so summer is a little sporadic, so I don't use as much time, you know, going down there. But, you know, AC is nice because it's close to us. If I was near Vegas, we'd definitely go there. So let's talk about the Atlantic City trip, you know. So we had a decent trip.
Yeah, it was nice.
Some good parts and some not so good parts.
As with any casino trip, you will never have all good or all, well, you can have all bad, I guess, but you're never going to have all good experiences anytime you go to a casino town.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
You got to go in with that expectation. You won't be let down.
Yes.
People watching was great, though.
You know what? And I think my biggest thing about that was I guess being in the wintertime, you know, we're skiing almost every weekend. I don't want to sound like a classist, like a douchebag, but the kind of people you see skiing, most people are athletic, usually a little more well-to-do. You get really delusional about the kind of people that exist on planet Earth.
Yeah.
When you go to Atlantic City, you see the people. You see what America is all about.
With my peeps. That's right. It is kind of depressing. You see a lot of people that don't take great care of themselves, whether they're overweight or just letting themselves go for other reasons. And it's just kind of it's a good wake-up call to say, you know, here, it's good to be skiing and doing the things that you want to do and stay a little healthier. And it was definitely a different vibe. So we've been in Atlantic City a lot. Different vibe for me, because I saw a lot of, like, younger groups, a lot of bachelor, bachelorette parties, which I like to see. I didn't see as much, like, affluent older people like I used to see in the past, which really has shaped it for more of a commercialized, not so great experience. Also, the fact that there's been four big major casinos that went out of business there, you know?
Yeah, some. I mean, like we mentioned a little bit before, the Revel, which was, I mean, it was a $2 billion, you know, casino and resort. It was right on the beach. I mean, they really embraced the fact that it was on the beach. They had a lot of windows in there, which you never see in casinos. Yeah. The pool area was beautiful. They made kind of like fake dunes all around it to make you feel like you were on the beach. The amenities, the restaurants were great. They had Village Whiskey, which is a restaurant in Philly. I think it was a Garces. I think that's the name of the chef.
Yeah.
They had, I mean, that place, we had the foie gras burger with duck fat fries. They had tremendous beers on draft. Fries, yeah. I mean, the place was awesome. It was really, really awesome. But they could not get the kind of clientele they needed to keep a place that was $2 billion open.
Right. So, and it's one of those places, too. You know, Saturday night, the hotel room rate is usually about $450. Friday, it's like $200. And then during the week, it's like $60 to $80 a night. So it's just such this crazy spectrum of price. It's basically Saturday night's their prime night, and all the other nights, it's like, yeah, sure, come on in. But I think they really need to do something about that formula. And I think it's a wake-up call for something like the Revel to go out, the Showboat, Trump, and I think the Hilton went out. Like there's, and a lot of others are, you know, kind of at risk of going out of business because they've just run them into the ground. And it's like it's sad to see, but I guess it's also kind of like Darwinism of business.
Yeah, know? I mean, you know, a lot of those other states nearby have opened up casinos, so people don't have to travel all the way down to Atlantic City. And you know, there's it was. Had a bad reputation for a while, but you know, again, it's the beach there is beautiful. The towns that are surrounding it, you know, you have Brigantine to the north, you have Ventnor, Margate below. I mean, these are beautiful old towns, tons of beautiful architecture, you know, great places to eat, great beaches. It's weird. I mean, it's you really see that disparity, you know, the range of wealth down there from the very, very poor to the very, very wealthy. So, and then the people when it comes to Atlantic City, that's just, you know, people that party, and you get a crazy mix of people. People think they're going to, you know, change their lives by winning these penny slot jackpots. It's, you know, you feel weird. You feel almost lucky that you kind of have your shit together and you're not one of those people, but it also makes you kind of, you know, take notice and be like, geez, like,
yeah,
this is how most of, you know, a good chunk of Americans live.
I mean, I personally, you know, I know some older people, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, that they used to go to Atlantic City all the time, and now they're going to, like, the Indian casinos, they're going to, you know, Pennsylvania, like, everywhere around, because it's easier to get to, it's nicer, they get better comps, you know, they play slots and stuff, and that adds up. I mean, that's a lot of people that are going elsewhere because they haven't embraced, you know, keeping their clientele, and it's a wake-up call, I think, you know?
Yeah, they really need to figure out what they're going to do down there and clean it up. So back to the Revel for a quick sec. They just sold it recently, I think, for, like, was it $80 million?
It was like 85,
80
yeah.
80 and $90 million, yep. And it was a $2
billion
property?
$2.2 billion.
Oh, that's crazy.
But now I heard they're fighting, I think your buddy was saying that they're fighting with the power company that's in it. So there's a lot of, like, litigation going on. There's stuff. Yeah. It's definitely going to open back up. It's definitely going to be highfalutin again. I mean, we used to go... For a while, we had the heyday. Brian and I were going down almost during the summer. That was like our summer beach house. We would go
at least three times, I think, one summer, right?
Yeah, we get free rooms.
Free rooms for two nights.
I went five times. You only came down three times.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, that was great. That's, you know, spread that out over 2 months. That's almost my whole summer right there.
Yeah, no, it was great. But so, you know, we're mentioning Atlantic City because we were down there, and that kind of made us think about casinos. So we figured how we tie this into the podcast. So we did a little bit of research, and we decided to list some of the places that are, you know, that are have legalized gambling, but also have skiing.
Yeah.
What a great combination.
And we've experienced some of this, so we have personal experience where it's been enjoyable.
Yeah, we've done a couple of these places, so we'll give you a little rundown. So right now, there are 20 states in the U.S. that have legalized gambling. Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, South Dakota, U.S. Virgin Islands, Washington, Oregon, California, and West Virginia. It's a lot of states.
Oh, yeah.
Utah does not. Ah, man, wow. Nice little Park City casino right there in
That's
town.
Surprising, right? Not surprising.
Not surprising at all.
Because of the demographic of the area, but, you know, It would fit in perfectly.
Yeah, but what I did was, you know, what we did, we looked at a lot of different maps, you know, maps of ski resorts, maps of casinos, and certain times it intersected, but a lot of times they were in Oregon, for example, the line where the mountain range, I guess it's the Cascades there, that mountain range is, and the line where the casinos were like 3 hours spread apart. Hmm. Because I guess, you know, a lot of those casinos are on, you know, Indian grounds.
Right.
And then, you know, I guess they didn't want to give Indians the really sweet mountainous areas. Or maybe they didn't want them.
Yeah, I wonder too, some of them are national parks. Like the skier, so it depends.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost like that. It was almost hard to find a lot of areas that had that same kind of crossover. But there were certain areas that it just, you know, the things kind of lined up and it, you know, you had an area where it had a great ski area and a great, you know, casino scene too. So we'll start with, I guess we'll start with the best one first, right?
Let's save the best for last.
All right, we'll save the best for last. Make you guys listen.
Let's just talk about the one that I've seen but never been to.
Before we hop in, we totally forgot. SkiBumPodcast.com. That's the website. You can get all of our information there. Twitter at SkiBumPodcast. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com. But please go to the website. Follow us on Twitter. Send us emails. If you go to the website, you'll have all the information. You can leave us Bitcoin tips. You can hit us up with email. Go to our Facebook page. All that there. SoundCloud. Boom. Website. SkiBumPodcast.com.
Yeah, we want email. We want people talking to us.
We love email. Yes. Tell us we suck. Tell us we're awesome. Just tell us anything. Yeah, let us know you're out there.
Just talk to us.
Please. All right, back to you.
So let's go through. So Nevada, like I've been to, I knew people that had a place in Henderson. You used to stay out there right outside of Vegas. And I would always look up and see this mountain, really nice tall mountain with snow on top. And they were always talking about, oh, there's snow on top and there's skiing up there. I was like, get out of here. I mean, you're talking like 20 minutes outside of Vegas. It's not that far.
Yeah, it's like north of Vegas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's so
I think it's
close.
Mount Charleston is like the mountain, but it's some other Vegas ski and snowboard resort. So that's interesting, like that it's that close. You know, you can go gamble, like world-class gambling, and then, you know, maybe not so world-class skiing, but it's skiing. Nonetheless, you're...
Yeah, they say they have, you know, they're open usually from December through April, and they get about 240 inches of average snowfall a year.
Wow.
Which is pretty, I mean, they only have three lifts, there's 30 trails. It's pretty small. The summit's 11,000 feet, though.
That's wild.
That's crazy, right?
Well, because Vegas is on a plateau, and then, you know, that's going even higher. I know somebody that drove through there, they said it's legit. There's a lot of snow. Like, you got to be careful going through there sometimes.
Yeah.
You
know, well, I mean,
strange.
If you look at it on the map, I mean, the demographics or the geography of it is really not that different than like a Telluride. I mean, it's a little bit lower, but I guess it's kind of that same
high elevation.
That high elevation that makes it work.
It's wild.
Which is so crazy, yeah. So yeah, if you got, you know, family and friends that want to go to Vegas, do it in January. You go skiing, they can go gambling, fire some AK-47s.
Fun for the whole family.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. All right, so you want to do Pennsylvania next?
Yeah.
So Pennsylvania, Brian and I have both been to different casinos and a lot of skiing around there. I don't mind Pennsylvania skiing. It's good, you know, especially if you're a beginner or something like that. It's great. You want to just get away. It's close to us.
And if somebody can go midweek, it's empty.
It's awesome midweek, yeah.
It's really not that bad. Yeah, it's pretty nice. There's a few decent resorts out there.
Mount Airy and Sands. Those are the two big ones. Mount Airy... used to be Mount Airy Lodge, a place for lovers, all that stuff. And now it's Mount Airy Lodge, a place to come gamble. It's a casino.
Yeah, it used to be this really cheesy, like, romantic getaway. I think, like, if you guys remember in Dumb and Dumber, when Harry and Lloyd are in that little hot tub together, a little heart-shaped hot tub, that's kind of the vibe it had.
What they used to advertise.
They have cheesy commercials, like, beautiful Mount Airy Lodge, all you have to bring is your love of everything. Like, that was their little slogan. And it was so lame and so cheesy, but it got stuck in your brain, and everybody who has grown up in the tri-state area has seen that commercial.
That and Raceway Park used to hear.
Raceway Park! Sunday! Sunday! Sunday!
Those two commercials, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but Mount Airy Lodge, so it was this kind of cheesy place, and they knocked it all down, they rebuilt it.
It's really nice. Put
these towers up, they have a great golf course there.
Yeah.
Casino is nice. So we've gone there a few times, and it's only about 15 minutes from Camelback.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a decent mountain. I mean, for the Poconos, it's a pretty good time.
Yeah. And then there's Sands. Sands isn't far from. I guess you have your Blue Mountain. It's not. It, there's some other stuff that's around too.
Yeah, it's about 35 minutes from Blue Mountain, and we've done that. You know, I've done that trek before. You know, you kind of go skiing during the day, and you stay in the Sands at night. And yeah, the Sands. I mean, they really built that out nice. That's a nice
it's
casino.
Like four or five restaurants from Emerald. Like he's got his signature one. He's got an Italian one. Like a.
The steakhouse.
Yeah, the steakhouse.
The burger place.
Burger place is good too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there he's got like three or four restaurants right there, which are all legit.
Yeah, and there's a couple of clubs and bars there, and they have bands. I mean, like Guns N' Roses was there last year, so you know, it's you can make it a really fun weekend.
They have USC there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a big arena, so they have the main big casino, which is like that huge area, and then they actually have a venue like right behind it.
Oh, no kidding!
And I forgot how many people it seats, but they've done fights there, UFC. Concerts once in a while, so yeah, they actually, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow,
I thought it was
cool.
Just the casino. They actually, and that's all the, so unfortunately, that's what Bethlehem Steel turned into, was the Sands Casino. It's just, that's just how modern era goes. Nobody's buying steel from America anymore, but it is actually really cool to see. They kept it like steel-like. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, they kept some of the old buildings there, and now they're called, I guess, the Stacks.
Yes,
that's they have art galleries and stuff there that are connected to the casino as well.
They have big concert festivals in the summer and
stuff. Yeah, festivals. They
crazy.
Have, there's a couple of decent bars in the area.
Lehigh's right there, too.
Lehigh. And they have outlet shopping, of course, in the casino attached. So you can't even...
That's right.
They won't even let you go home with your money. You're going to go to the Under Armour outlet and the Coach outlet.
And spend it.
And win it there and spend it, exactly.
Wow.
And then a couple more up there. There's Mohegan Sun up in Wilkes-Barre. And there's Elk Mountain and Big Boulder nearby. So there's, some additional decent skiing up there in the Poconos.
All right, before we get to the number one place on my list, so let's talk about other places outside of the U.S. We have Tremblant in Quebec. All right?
Yes.
I haven't been to Tremblant. You've been.
I've been to Tremblant, yes. And Tremblant is a crazy place. I mean, it's got this, awesome little village down there, all these skiing and ski-out hotels. They have all the bars and restaurants and shops in town. And they have the casino they built recently.
It's right there.
Right? There's a gondola that goes from the main part of town right to the casino.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or you can ski down to it as well.
And can you ski in, do a few pulls at the slot machine, and then ski
you
out?
You pretty much can.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's one part of the mountain that's accessible to the casino. Yeah. The hours are kind of funky there. Like, it's not open all the time.
Yeah.
It closes at, like, I think it's like 1 or 2 on, like, a Saturday. So it's not like a typical, casino running 24/7. But it's awesome that
that's
it's
awesome.
There.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have some decent skiing.
You want something to do, right? If you don't feel like skiing that day, you take a day off, you can do
like
a little gambling.
A 4 or 5 day weekend, and head up there.
Yeah,
you could
have
a really good time. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
I don't know about other ones in Quebec, but Tremblant is
Well, I looked
cool.
at the map for Quebec because I haven't skied Quebec. And around the ski areas, there's all over. There's like, 30 minutes away, 20 minutes away. There's a lot of them, like, it's peppered around that whole area. So
that's pretty cool, yeah. And then, some other ones that we found out in Colorado. There's the towns of Black Hawk and Central Colorado. They have a bunch of casinos in those towns, and they're about 30 minutes away from Eldora, which is, just west of Boulder. And down in Southern Colorado, Ignacio, there's the Sky Ute Lodge and Casino, which is about an hour from Purgatory/Durango Mountain.
Nice.
So, yeah, you could do a little, get your Rocky Mountain action, do some gambling. Wow. And nearby there in New Mexico, you've got the Taos Mountain Casino, near the Taos ski area, less than a half an hour away.
I like that.
Yeah.
And what do we got for the number one? So we need a little music for this. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Number one's coming up. And what do we got for number one?
Number one is, of course, Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
California/Nevada.
Right on the border.
Right on the border,
State line is the town, right?
State line is the town in Nevada.
Well, that's, I guess, what, South Tahoe?
Yeah, I think, then there's...
North Star and all that, that's up. And the Kirkwood, they're on the other side.
Kirkwood and Heavenly are the southern ones.
Oh, Kirkwood.
And up top is North Star and Squaw. Those are the big ones. And we did Heavenly and South Lake Tahoe a couple years ago.
That was fucking awesome.
And it's really cool. I mean, if you're into gambling and skiing, you pretty much have, when you're at the top
and
of Heavenly,
nature.
You have beautiful Tahoe. The lake is unbelievable. You're at the top of the mountain. You can see all the casinos. They're right there. Pretty much between where the gondolas go, down in town, the Nevada side, the California side. There's six casinos there in South Lake Tahoe. MontBleu Resort and Casino, Harrah's Lake Tahoe, Harvey's Lake Tahoe, the Horizon Casino Resort, the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, which just opened in January, nice. And the Lakeside Inn and Casino.
Now, I think we've been to Harvey's was a smoke-free, I think, that we've been to. That was really cool.
I'd say that stupid blackjack switch game.
That was great, though. We played for, like, an hour and a half just on, like, $50 or something.
Yeah, that was kind of funky. So you got... So those familiar with blackjack, usually you get one hand. In this, you got two hands. And you could swap your top cards.
That's awesome.
So you think, wow, that gives me a huge advantage. But the way it worked is what? They got a 22. It was a push.
Yeah, 22 is a push.
Only for the dealer, not for the player.
Right, and they paid even money on a blackjack. So yeah. There's a lot of rules that, like, diminish. So there's a book that I actually shared with Brian. I read it. It's, oddly enough, it's The Mensa Guide to Casino Gambling.
Which did not help us at all this weekend.
I ended up okay. It's actually a great book. It was like $17 and, you know, for a book. But it has every casino game. I got it. The blackjack piece is fantastic because it tells you strategy and it goes through, like, expected amount of winning to kind of bump what strategy you should go for. So I would recommend, if you're a serious blackjack player, read that. But they also have other sections on, you know, all the other casino games.
The Jag is black.
That's right. But that aside, we read that, went to Tahoe, and we had a lot of fun in Tahoe.
Yeah. Tahoe was great. I mean, again, you there's these resorts there are in South Lake Tahoe, at least, are huge. You know, they have tons of restaurants. They have, you know, a lot of musical artists come by. Our plane, we had Liza Minnelli on our plane flying back. Nice. She was just performing.
Oh, wow.
So you get a legit crowd. And the skiing there, when they have snow, is dynamite.
It's phenomenal.
Now, we only did Heavenly because, yeah.
We're lazy. We didn't want to travel.
We were lazy, and our hotel was right next to the gondola.
Yeah.
So we pretty much walked across the parking lot, and were on the gondola heading up the mountain.
That was a place we had that timeshare with a hot tub, bathtub in the middle of the entire condo. It was the most bizarre setup.
Oh, it was awesome.
But it was awesome. It was just fun. It was funny.
Yeah, you know? It was really cool. It was super convenient, and again, it's so easy to get into the town, to get to the casinos, and it was there's so much to do.
And the fun part of getting there is we flew into Reno, so we gamble in Reno. Then we hop in a car, start driving through, and we're like, you know, we're pretty hungry. Let's stop in Carson City. We didn't know Carson City had, like, one of the best places that Brian and I actually ever, we claim, like, if we retire, like, we could sit at Red's. So it's called Red's Old 395 Grill.
And it was funny because we were at the hotel and we asked them where we should go. And they mentioned some place, but it was closed, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, there's this place. It's kind of rustic.
No, we stopped at a bowling alley or something, didn't we?
And we asked. It was a bowling alley. We stopped somewhere to ask.
And we're like, let's just ask somewhere locally. And then we asked, and like, well, you might like Red's if you like, because we said we like barbecue.
And this was a few years back, so we didn't have Yelp.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone had an pre-Yelp. iPhone at this point.
Yeah, I didn't have an iPhone. Yeah.
But so it was a few years ago.
That was great, getting a little local.
Red's was, still one of the best meals I've ever had there.
If you look it up online, www.reds395.com, and it is, we pulled up and we're like, this place is not like a, you know, a lot of times you go to a smokehouse or a barbecue place, and it's a little, you know, a little shack, and that's what you expect, whatever. This was like a legit place. They had a big fire engine, a big pumper behind the bar. The bar had like 50 taps. I think they claimed 52 beers on tap, 101 beers from around the world. So here's this little thing in Carson City, like, where the hell are we? This is, like, great, you know? So I was very surprised. They had, I guess they had chariots and carriages and stuff hanging from the ceiling and in the place, like, old historical looking. But we were talking to one of the people there, and they were like, no, I guess the owner bought a lot of them from movie sets and, like, brought them over. And some of them are restored. Some of them are just, like, prop things. It was really cool stuff.
Yeah, it was great. And, yeah, like I said, the food was awesome. The tons of beers they had on draft was great. And there was one guy there, he had, up at the bar, he had his, like, name, like a placard for his seat.
Oh, that was
so
awesome.
So it was, like, his seat. And, like, he was, you know, he's been there, you know, for how many years? That was his. It was pretty cool.
Needless to say, he was there.
He was there, of course. Where else was it going to be? And they also had you could bring your own meat there, and they would smoke it. That was one of the cool features they had.
Ooh.
So, you know, you hit a deer or an elk on the way, and you
smoke it, and then
throw it on the top of the car, and
I'll drop it off when I'm on my way back. I'll pick it up, smoke it for a few days.
Easy as pie.
Nice.
Yeah, so definitely we'll hit up Red's. We'll put it in the show notes so you can link out to it and check it out yourself.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to see. There's a lot of, like, quick stuff to see in Carson City. Bunny Ranch is also there.
The Bunny Ranch is there, allegedly.
Allegedly. It's seen on HBO, right?
Yes.
But Pony Express, Wells Fargo, they had a lot of stuff going through there, a lot of legends about bank robberies, train robbers. So it's kind of funny, even if you're traveling with kids. Don't go to the Bunny Ranch. I would recommend go look at the other stuff and go to Reds.
And isn't Virginia City there too? And that's like a haunted or...
Virginia City's close by, and I think that's a ghost town.
It's a ghost town, right?
Yeah, which is pretty wild. I actually saw a show on that looked pretty... We didn't get a chance to go there, but it wasn't that far.
No, it wasn't. It was really close. And when you're in South Lake Tahoe, one place that we can also highly recommend food-wise is Freshies.
Ah, Freshies.
This was a place that we were staying at our, timeshare, the condo hotel place, and they had the ski check there. So we checked our skis in the one day, and we asked the guy, and he's like, hey, man, like, what's a good place to go to where the locals go, not like freaking Cabo Wabo, which was good.
It was pretty good, though.
But... not what we really wanted. So he's like, oh, dude, everyone goes to Freshies. It's great. And so he, gives us directions, and we drive over there, and it's in like a strip mall. So we're like, okay, I guess this is the place. You walk down past
we had to take two or three takes because this is a mall.
And then we went in there and there was a wait, right? They weren't going to seat us or something because there were only four of us.
Yeah.
But they weren't going to seat us. And so we decided to wait it out. And, we eventually got seated, and best fish tacos I've ever had.
To this day, we still talk
about it. Oh, they were out of this world.
I just got to say Freshies, and it's like, oh, don't tease me.
First thing to say is, because it was great. Yeah. Killer fish tacos, and everything we had there was just dynamite.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We went to the casinos another few times after. Mont Blue is nice.
Mont Blue, yeah, that's where they filmed the Jeremy Piven film, Smoking Aces.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
If you're a Jeremy Piven fan.
Did the spa there and then played casino.
The spa was awesome.
Yeah,
spa. They had really the big indoor pool, and it was one of those deals where you get the massage and all their spa services are included. So you can there's a pool, there's hot tubs, there's
a lot of fun to relax. Yeah,
all saunas, all that stuff. So great for mid ski trip, take a little break, do a little spa, sauna, massage action. That was really nice.
Play there. That was pretty good. I think I won a little money there. Yeah. Won't say how much.
But then then there's North Lake Tahoe, which we drove through, but really didn't spend any time there, and unfortunately have not skied, Squaw or North Star.
Yeah.
And that's those places too. There's not as many casinos. A little more laid back there in North Lake Tahoe. There's the Tahoe Biltmore Lodge. There's the Cali Nevada Resort, the Crystal Bay Club, and the Hyatt. And they're only 12 minutes from North Star, and only a half an hour from Squaw.
Wow.
Which, there's, again, assuming there's snow there, the last couple of years haven't been so good, but if there's snow, you can have just an awesome time, and you can bring a bunch of friends and do, one of those trips where, some people don't want to ski, some people, they can go to the casinos, they can go to the spas, they can do whatever, they'll still have plenty of things to do and have a good time.
So the interesting thing about Heavenly is now there's a border where you ski into Nevada, so, the town is separated, so all the casinos... State line is split. Half is on the California side, half is on the Nevada side. So obviously all the casinos are on the Nevada side, and I think we were technically staying in the California side.
Right.
So it's kind of like we just drove into, we drove into town, parked, walked in, and we crossed the border, and that's where the main strip is, where you start all the casinos and all the other cool stuff. It was pretty interesting to see that, on the border.
Yeah, you really see a change there too, which is pretty funny. And there was that really cool Irish bar, too.
Yeah.
That was there right across the border in...
I forgot the name of that. We hung out there. I heard everybody goes to the Tahoe talks about the Irish
Everybody bar. Knows that place. Yeah, it's right on Lake Tahoe Boulevard. Pretty much right across when you cross into the California side from Nevada.
Yeah, it was McDuff's.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's
McPee's, sorry.
McPee's, yes. That's where I saw that really, really, really drunk girl from New Jersey.
Yeah, she was actually there with a bunch of work people, and they were laughing. They're like, yeah, she's hammered. She was kind of making an ass out of herself, but they were letting her, within safe guidelines, they were just letting her go, do her own thing.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
Yeah, it was a good time. So yeah, Lake Tahoe is great, and again, it's for a lot of different things you can do there. In the summertime, it's dynamite also. You can do stuff on the lake. There's tons of hiking and biking and pretty much everything outdoorsy that you would want to do, you could do up there.
That's a giant lake too, right?
Giant lake. There was some stat, again, I didn't fact check this, but they said if they took all the water out of Lake Tahoe, it would cover the entire state of California, a couple inches.
They would need that.
Which they actually need right now, yes.
That'd be pretty good.
But Mammoth got a little bit of snow last week. They got a few inches, which is good.
I can't believe everybody's still getting snow. I saw the Twitter Telluride got a bunch of snow last week. You saw something this week?
I think all of Colorado got like between 10 and 20 inches, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
But there's only a few places that are still open. But we'll get into that later on the around the horn. But a couple of finishing things for Lake Tahoe. So if you're in the New York area, JetBlue just announced back in January that they are going to have direct flights to Reno, which before now, no airlines flew directly to Reno.
You had to transfer in LAX, and you transferred somewhere else, right?
Phoenix. You got to transfer to Phoenix, LAX, San Francisco is a big one.
LAX was a shit show. That was horrible.
Oh, was it?
We almost missed our flight. It was like we were on the – we had to go to a different terminal, and it was just like – it was bad.
Yeah, that's one of the things about flying in the wintertime, unfortunately. You never know what the weather's going to be like when you're flying out, you know, and things are delayed.
I think we were close on time, and we still almost missed it.
Really?
It was just how they scheduled it.
We Andrea and I, we flew into Phoenix, and we stopped. We had about an hour. So we went to this bar and got a gin and tonic. And I had the receipt in my wallet, and the trip was so great. We got home. I put that on my like that receipt from the gin and tonics on the fridge.
Nice.
And hung it up because it was just one of those things that like reminded you of the trip. Because that drink when you've just done the long leg and you're right about to start the real vacation. You know, that anticipation, that's the best feeling.
That's when you start feeling highfalutin.
That's when you start feeling highfalutin.
Boom, you get a few gin and tonics and now the relaxation and enjoyment begins.
That is correct. So yeah, so that'll be great. And right now, I was just looking this morning, $309 the flights start at.
Wow.
Which is not bad. I guess, you know, I'm sure during ski season, they probably go up a little bit more.
Summer, I imagine, has got to be pretty busy there, too.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, you know, when there's no snow in the winter, who's going to go to Tahoe?
But great lake, man.
Maybe you can book that up now and, you know, book it soon and you have a great trip planned. So, so Tahoe is obviously number one, but there's a couple other states that you can have some pretty decent skiing and gambling as well. Washington State, you got Lilac Lanes and Casino, which is only 40 minutes from Mount Spokane. Hmm. Northwest Resort and Casino is only an hour from that same Lilac Lanes and Casino. The Nooksack River Casino is only 30 minutes from Mount Baker, so that's also a good time. Also in California, Paiuta Palace Casino is only 45 from Mammoth, which is open and still has snow, so you make that happen this weekend, Memorial Day, if you want to.
It adds another wrinkle to when you're planning a trip. Like, hey, you know, if maybe somebody wants to gamble, not ski that much, or have, like, an alternate thing. I mean, it's a great... I mean, that's one of the draws, I imagine, when you go to Tahoe. You're like, you have really good spas, and you have gambling and the nightlife that comes with it.
And also, too, if, say, you don't get snow. Yeah. Say the snow sucks. At least you have something you got stuff to do. Which is nice. That's like a backup plan. And then the last state we'll kind of go over is Michigan. So, again, I've never been to Michigan before. Seems like a great place. But there's a bunch of different casinos that are near ski resorts. La Vue Desert Resort Casino in Watersmeet is near Ski Brulee and Indian Head. It's in between the two of them, about 45 minutes in each direction, the different ski resorts. The Ojibwa Casino Marquette, only 15 minutes from Marquette Mountain, and Little River Casino, which is near Crystal Mountain, about 30 minutes away. Nice. So all over the country, pretty much. I was trying to look for places in West Virginia, North Carolina, but you know, there's only a few ski resorts, and a Snowshoe is the big one in West Virginia. And the big one, what's the big one in North Carolina? Is it Sugar?
Well, North Carolina, I went to school up there, went to App State in Boone, right there. Go Mountaineers.
Yeah. Michigan, what happened?
Yeah, that's right. But right up there, they have, there was Sugar, Hawk's Nest. Hawk's Nest is like one of the top places for golf, by the way, in the summer. I don't know if it's still called Hawk's Nest, but Sugar was one of the bigger ones. There was like three or four places up there.
Yeah, and they have casinos, but they seem to be all kind of in the southern part.
Yeah, they're not anywhere near there. You're up in the mountains right there, right by the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So there, and then West Virginia, you know, Snowshoe. There was some that are about an hour and 30, the closest there. So we didn't really get too much into them. And Oregon, like I said, you know, there's the ridge where all the great mountain ranges are, you know, Mount Hood and all them. But all the casinos are kind of on the other side, kind of more towards the water, Route 5. So
I'd say if anybody listening has been to a ski vacation where they did do a casino, write to us, because we'd like to get that information personally for our own trips, but also to share with everybody else. I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be absolutely great. So yeah, hit us up at Ski Bum Podcast on Twitter or skibumpodcast.com, and you have all of our other social media links there. Or Gmail, of course, skibumpodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, because if there's anything international, we really didn't go too much into it. Just a little bit on Tremblant and Quebec. But if you got anything else international, please hook us up.
All right, cool.
All right, so now, since we pretty much exhausted that topic, let's go around the horn. Mario, what do you got?
Got the little round the horn going.
A little around the horn.
I want to have music for everything. That's why I'm, yeah.
I like it.
All right, so around the horn to start. I do a lot of biking, so one of my friends was looking at bike lights. So I started searching everything last week, like, you know, cool bike lights, you know, bike lights that don't weigh a lot, that don't use a lot of, you know, power, all this other stuff. So I actually saw, like, a Pimp My Ride bike light site that is, like, it's called Glow Candy Bike Lights. I also saw a bunch of, like, do-it-yourself, like, LED light strip light things. This thing looks actually pretty cool for, like, a beach cruiser, though. I showed it to Brian, and it has, like, they're basically LED lights in the wheels, on the frame, and it's actually pretty ridiculous, but it looked pretty cool.
The whole bike looks like it has ground effects. Like, if you know, like, in the back in the day, you put in your car those ground effects, and it looks almost like a drop shadow for your car.
Awesome.
Just glowing drop shadow. Yeah, it's kind of like that for bikes, but with also the wheels and the frame glowing as well.
And different colors. I like it.
And different colors, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. If you're riding around at night on the beach, I mean, you're styling.
Yeah, pretty much as unsubtly as possible, yeah.
All right,
cool. I got a couple of books that just came out today, at least on Audible, the audiobooks. There's one called Digital Gold, Bitcoin, and the Inside Story of the Misfits and Millionaires Trying to Reinvent Money. So it's kind of a cool, interesting story about, you know, obviously Bitcoin, if you're familiar with that. We may do an episode one time this summer talking more about that and digital currency. But yeah, it's talking about the history of it, how people are trying to change the financial industry.
It's big now. It's getting bigger
and
bigger.
It's big. And, you know, places like Argentina that have to, you know, a fluctuating, unstable currency are doing more transactions with the digital currency and Bitcoin. Yeah. So it's pretty.
Aren't the banks also starting to come up with their own?
The New York Stock Exchange is starting to. They have a,
I think Goldman started, right?
Goldman invested $50 million a few weeks ago. NASDAQ is starting to use the Bitcoin technology for trading. So it's starting to catch on.
Form of money, people will use it, right?
Yeah. So one other book that also came out today is Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for the Very Fantastic Future. So cool. In fact, Elon Musk, like one of my personal heroes, the guy's amazing. The things he's created, the things he's done, the way he's changing the world. It's biography about him. It's only got 3.7 out of 5 right now, but it could be. It's only got 3 ratings so far, and it just came out today. But it might be worth checking out.
You just like him because you want a Tesla.
I want a Tesla. I use PayPal. I love the idea of going to space.
He's done a lot of good stuff for the car industry, and I think the SpaceX thing is awesome, the way they're doing that now.
He's forcing people to change the way they think about these kind of things. And now the whole Tesla, the at-home battery pack that they have now.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Innovations that could change everything. Right?
Humankind, yeah.
Awesome. All right, so the next thing I have something on Kickstarter. Now, follow-up to last week's Kickstarter about the HG skis. Sadly to say, we knew they were at the, you know, the ninth hour. They didn't make their goal. I think they were short by like $8,000.
Oh, it sucks. Yeah.
So they didn't make it, and I did verify and find out that because they didn't make the goal, they didn't charge me for the support, you know, that I pledged.
Okay,
so
that's good to know too. Then yeah, so if you do want to support one of these Kickstarter campaigns, you will get your money back, or you won't get charged if it doesn't get funded. So.
It's almost like the Groupon, where the deal's only on if you sell a certain amount.
Right.
Now they don't do that anymore because they'll sell a certain amount. So
yeah.
It's, you know, but when they started, it was the Groupon's on or not on. But anyway, so the first thing I have on Kickstarter is it's this Kickstarter called the Light Phone, and I showed it to Brian before. And the cool part about it, it's like a mini phone, like the size of a credit card, and all it does is make calls. So it's the basic watered down phone, but the benefit of that is you don't have to carry your phone. And now Brian and I both have 6 pluses,
giant iPhones. Yeah,
giant iPhone 6 pluses, which I didn't think they would be that cumbersome, and now trying to put them like in my pocket or camera, and I'm like, they don't fit anywhere.
Well, now that it's getting warm out, when I first got mine, it was when it came out in October, and you're wearing jackets and pants, yeah. and you got plenty of pocket space for it.
That's not a big deal.
But now that you're wearing shorts and t-shirts, you're realizing how cumbersome this freaking phone is.
I went to the gym and I had like this arm holder, and it felt like I had a TV on the side of it. I was just like, this is absolutely absurd. This is like a you know, it's like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
So how thick is that phone then?
It was probably like this. From what it looked like here, so they do the video, and I guess these are all prototypes that they're showing. I imagine when they go to production, they're probably going to make them as thin as a credit card or close to it.
As thin as a credit card?
The one that they show here is probably like 3 credit card stacks.
Still, though, that's thick, awesome.
But it's at the actual size of the credit card, and it looks really cool. It looks like a mini remote control. And
it looks like one of those iHome remotes.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like if you had for like your iHome iPod dock or something?
Yeah, and it looks actually about as thick as that, you know? But anyway, so looking at the video, apparently what it does is you leave your phone at home, you have an app that runs on there, it'll forward your calls to this other little device, you know, to this light phone, which is great, and then it has preloaded minutes on the phone, so it's like a burner phone. So if, you know, Breaking Bad, you need a burner phone, you use one of these. So it'll get your forwarded calls, so you won't miss a call if somebody calls you leaving your phone at home, and you're still able to make a call, which is great. I mean,
that is so cool.
I know somebody, you know, allegedly went to a gentleman's club because they're gentlemen, and they had to check their phone in at the door, and just that concept is like, why would you even like consider checking your phone in? It just sounds bizarre. And they were saying as they were leaving the place that somebody was like, one of the friends was trying to call another friend's phone because they lost their phone that they checked in. So it's just kind of like, you see stuff like that, and it's like, if you had something like this, it would be great.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yes, we'll have all these links to all these in the show notes. So just check out the website, skibumpodcast.com, and you can find these links for yourself. Next one that I got is, Stratton Mountain up in Vermont. They just announced this week that they are going to do an $8.5 million renovation for their base lodge.
Wow.
So that lodge is, you know, pretty old, and it was getting, you know, kind of, you know, tight for space. So they're doing this renovation this summer, and they're going to have it ready for the 2015-2016 season, just a few months away. They're going to add a second floor to the east and west wings, which will add approximately 350 seats and 4,000 square feet.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, the lodge will also get a larger kitchen for Grizzly's restaurant, a new serving area, coffee shop, and flooring.
Huh, good to see.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Stratton's pretty nice, from what I hear.
Stratton's a great place, yeah. So they'll look forward to seeing that in the next couple months.
Cool.
Mario, what do you got?
All right, so the next one I got, another Kickstarter. So it's it's a smart bike lock called Linka, L-I-N-K-A. And it was pretty cool. The thing I like about it is it sits on your back wheel, and you push a button and it locks for you. And when it's locked, it actually locks the wheel to the frame so that nobody can ride away with it. They can actually pick it up, throw it in a truck if they wanted to, but that's kind of a smash and grab. You could also add a, you know, if you have an existing chain, you can use that to chain it to something.
Okay.
So it's kind of versatile, but it sits like it's mounted on your bike. So you don't have to like worry about carrying it, because I think we mentioned last week, if you have
those
a U-lock,
right? Yeah.
You have to put in like a backpack or something. It's a real pain in the butt. So the good thing about this, it actually has an alarm. So if somebody tries to move the bike, the alarm sounds off and text message your phone. So you know that somebody's trying to jack your bike. It also has, it syncs with your phone. So there's other stuff you can do. Like when you're getting ready to park your bike, you can actually look at the app. And they say that they're going to set it up where it will notify you if it's a highly stealable area. It's like a high-risk area for your bike.
I guess like aggregates crime data for that area.
Right. It's actually aggregates reports of stolen bikes. So it's kind of like, it's pretty cool. Like they say, it's not that safe of an area to park your bike. So it seems really cool. And what I like about it, it's push button. And then it recognizes your phone when it gets close to the bike, and it'll unlock it for you automatically. So then you just jump on your bike and you go.
That's so awesome.
Really cool if you're in a pretty safe area, but you just want that security of having it locked. If I was going all day, like into a building, I probably still want a chain and chain it to something, but it was pretty cool. Thought it was neat. That's a Kickstarter too, so.
That is really cool.
And I think they made their goal. I think they crushed it already. They were at, let's see, They were looking for $25,000. They already have $35,000, so they're definitely funded.
And it's a Kickstarter staff pick.
Staff pick.
So you know it's good. All right, I got another one. Whistler Blackcomb will go smoke-free on May 31st.
Wow.
So you only got another week and a half to smoke at Whistler.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean in restaurants or outside of public areas or what?
Well, they're corresponding that with World No Tobacco Day, and the policy will prohibit smoking anywhere on Whistler Blackcomb property.
Wow.
So lift lines, chairlifts, gondolas, ski runs, hiking trails, valley, base areas, parking lots, the Whistler Mountain bike park trails, and all of the Whistler Blackcomb bar and restaurant locations, including patios.
Wow.
Yeah. And it also prohibits the smoking of marijuana, allegedly. So heads up to all those...
with medicinal purposes, even?
Even medicinal purposes. So make sure you bring your edibles or I guess
gummies?
I guess you could vape too. Still, right?
You know, vaping they're starting to outlaw in New York. Like tobacco vaping, like they're getting rid of it because I think they're seeing eventually like marijuana will probably come in and they just want to eliminate vaping altogether.
Or they're seeing that everybody who is vaping is vaping marijuana and not tobacco.
That could be. But yeah, actually, I mean, New York was one of the ones that put it in, right?
Well, they approved medical recently. In New York, but everything but it's only smokeless, so you can't smoke. They'll have, you know, edibles, drinkables,
wow,
gummies. Yeah,
yeah. We should do a whole as we get closer, like to elections and like stuff changing. We should probably do another podcast on that too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because Brian and I have done a lot of research on that. Just, you know, on a side note, we've actually invested stock in some companies that are, you know,
full disclosure.
Progressively looking at, you know, medical marijuana for research and for cancer treatment. There are some companies that do some really awesome stuff for cancer, for pain management, and it's good to see. So
yeah, there's so many new studies out there showing that, you know, the whole war on drugs and all the propaganda that we were kind of pumped as kids in the 80s is all kind of bullshit and all tied to, you know, archaic thinking and, you know, lobbyists and, you know, inaccurate data. So there's a lot of, you know, great new information out there, a lot of stories of, you know, children with seizures being treated with, you know, cannabis oil. So, you know, we decided to do a little investing there with our highfalutin funds and
well, we've done some research, so there's two sides of it. One is hemp for industrial purposes, which is used in clothing, in industrial products. There's no THC, no psychoactives in it at all, but yet you can't grow it in this country, so there's over $2 billion that gets imported from other countries just for industrial use, like hemp, like clothes and products like that, which is, it's a shame that our farmers can't grow that. And then there's the other side, which wants to use it for medical,
or even hemp, and even still, you know, talking about hemp and not cannabis, is, you know, there's the whole nutrition part, and hemp protein, it's full of omega-3s and 6s.
Yeah.
And America, we're the number one importer of hemp in the world. We import it from China and Canada, you know, primarily.
Yeah.
And they're starting to slowly realize, like, how silly and foolish this is. And they're, you know, Colorado, I think Vermont, and a few other states have started to legalize commercial hemp growing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it used to... It
and
was,
that's the stuff that really should be legal already, because there's no...
Nothing
psychoactive
about
it. It's just it's just a plant that we use in production. So
yeah.
And then there's the other side that's using it for, you know, medical purposes and research, and, you know, the fact that you can't do research on it because they classify it as a certain level of drug.
Yeah, and that, you know, veterans can't have it for, because it's been proven to help with PTSD syndrome, you know, symptoms, and that, you know, a lot of these former veterans, they can't take it because they would, you know, if they would fail a drug test, they would lose their benefits.
Yeah,
which is, you know, kind of terrible. So, you know, we can get to that into a podcast on.
There's
that
a lot of interesting stuff to it. I mean, you know, not taking any side, but there's a lot of stuff that's come out about that. But leading into that, one of my round the horns was the Time magazine this week has the funniest cover I've seen in a while. Time magazine, if you look at the cover this week, says "The World of Pot Science," and they have this cute little white rat with a joint in his mouth and a little baby lighter in his hands. And he looks so cute. It's the funniest thing. I got it on my phone. It's pretty funny.
The highly divisive, curiously underfunded, and strangely promising world of pot science.
Yeah. So it's an article in there. I read part of the article. I love Time magazine, the writing, but looks like a good article. So I would suggest to look it up, because if not, at least look up the cover. Cover's cute.
Yeah, we'll post it in the show notes too,
so
you guys can take a look at it.
Cute little cover. So that's my lock screen on my phone right now.
Yeah, I think that's all that I got. Do you have anything else?
Yes, I do.
One more, right?
So one more to follow up. Now, you know, we've had the Cold War. We think the Cold War is over. I think it's starting again. And what the Cold War is, the Cold War 2. We're on the Cold War on ice right now.
Yeah.
So they just had the international hockey competition. So international league, right? So all the countries were bidding for that. U.S. lost in the semifinals to Russia.
Right, 3-0, yeah.
And then Russia played Canada.
Yeah, they do it every year this time of year, and it's one of those weird things. Because, you know, the best players in the world are playing in the NHL. And right now, the NHL playoffs are going on. So the teams on the, you know, the players on the best teams are still competing for the Stanley Cup, but they're having this International Ice Hockey Federation Championship. So the teams that have had player, you know, the players from teams that have been eliminated are the ones going.
Yeah. So, and the weird part is they'll keep... As they get eliminated, like Ovechkin was on the game against the U.S., but like he just ended his series like two nights before or something.
Yeah, the Capitals got knocked out by the Rangers, so he was there.
It was the weirdest thing. Like he was just playing, he just flew out and just started skating with the team.
Yeah,
like,
so it seems like every round the teams are going to be different because they're going to get more players that have been eliminated from the
NHL
playoffs. Good
and bad. It's just kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess Putin, I guess they always do, like, I guess they were using it for publicity, but. They also have, like, it's like a yearly, like, exhibition game. And so Vladimir Putin, he goes and there's an article in Washington Post and CTV News. There's a bunch of different stories out and, you know, covering this. But basically the other night, a few nights ago, before the final between Canada and Russia, Putin played in he plays every year in this this hockey game. And they won 18-6, and Putin himself scored 8 goals. So it was just kind of funny because, like, I guess after the spanking that Russia got from Canada, they lost 6-1. They started giving a lot of flack to Putin to say, you know, here you are, you're like trying to use this as propaganda, and your team got totally spanked. And from what I heard, I mean, you were telling me Brian's a bigger hockey fan than I am. He said actually when the Canadian national anthem was being played. A lot of the Russians...
The
whole team left the ice, which is a little disrespectful.
It's poor sportsmanship, yeah.
So it's poor sportsmanship, and, you know, I think it's good to show the story that, you know, Putin got a little egg on his face. Which...
Yeah, the Putin article is funny. I was just taking a look at it. So, yeah, it was a commemoration. It commemorates the 70th anniversary of World War II, and they played this exhibition game. And Putin's team had, like, former NHL players, Valery Kamensky and Pavel Bure... And this 62-year-old, you know, leader, you know, it's kind of funny. He scored 8 goals.
Now, I would wonder if somebody takes him to the boards, are they, like, leaving the ice and going right to a gulag or, like, what's going on?
I'm sorry. He only scored 6 goals and had 5 assists.
Oh, that's, yeah. So, and I believe that really.
All legit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But, yeah, we'll post the link to that so you guys can check it out. And there's a little video of it, too. So, it's that guy's awesome.
Well, good for the USA, Team USA. I like Team Canada, too.
Team Canada, congratulations, gold medal.
Yeah.
Russia, you got a silver. Enjoy that. And U.S.,
and you know... Czech was the other one, right? Czech Republic?
Yeah, the U.S. got the bronze. They beat Czech Republic, so...
Yeah, all good teams.
Yeah.
Good games.
They were great games. They were fun to watch.
Yeah.
So, you got anything else, or is that we going to wrap that up?
That's all we got for this week.
All right, cool. So, final notes, I think it's we're going to figure out what we're going to talk about next week. We don't even know. We're not going to even tease anything because we may change it up. We have no idea.
That's right. We might change it
up. It's Memorial Day weekend. Anything could happen, and...
It's all on the table.
It's all on the table. Anything is possible. The world is your oyster. Make your dreams come true. All right, man. So we're going to wrap this up for today.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to thank you guys so much again for listening. Please reach out to us, skibumpodcast@gmail.com, skibumpodcast.com, @skibumpodcast on Twitter. And if you go to the website, we have all of our other social media links, connect with us there. And reach out and let us know what you think.
Peace.
All right. See you guys later. Keep kicking ass. Boom.